This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, boy. Jerry Dulac of the Post-Gazette. Breaking. Aaron Rodgers is at the Steelers facility today. An indication a deal with the team could be forthcoming, per sources. Thankfully, Donnie Football is in for this hour. This is perfect. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Can't even let us enjoy the Robert Morris game.
I know. Let the drama begin, Donnie. Aaron Rodgers. This is going to be, should it come to pass, and it appears to be headed in that direction, this is going to be one wild ride. Do you like the idea of Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh?
I think we've been over this. The sports talk radio host in us wants this to happen 110%, whereas maybe the fan in us does not want this to happen. Like, the fan in me, I'd rather them just run it ahead with Mason Rudolph, maybe, just maybe, have a bad season for once and set yourself up for 2026. But we know that if the Aaron Rodgers thing does in fact happen, that it will be headline after headline after headline that gives us fodder to talk about, not even just for the season, all of the off season, probably after the season.
For years to come,
yeah.
Depending on what happens. So he came out of the darkness. I don't know if he was in the darkness, actually. But he's here, according to Dulac. So many questions arise. I mean, does this make it imperative that you keep Pickens? That would be one.
It's four nights of complete darkness.
Another would be, what kind of money are we talking about and what kind of term? I mean, I get the impression, if I had to guess right now, that it's going to be one guaranteed year for between 30 and 40 million. Does that sound reasonable? Or do you think he's going to work himself into more guaranteed
money?
Did
you guys ask Ray about this earlier when you had him on? Like what a possible deal could look like?
No, just generally we asked him what's happening.
So the guys questioned him on it yesterday. You know, his best guess on what he thinks the Steelers' offer would be. And he said it was more like 1 year for 25 or 30.
Ooh, okay.
Which is obviously more attractive. You know, if you're able to get this guy at like $25 million guaranteed instead of 40, then that changes the calculus on everything a little bit.
What about Pickens? Would you prefer? I mean, obviously the idea here is going to be to protect Rodgers because he needs that at this stage of his career, and have him stand back there and be able to use that arm, which is still lively, and get the ball down the field to the guy that they're giving tens of millions of dollars to, plus Pickens, right?
Yeah, I think it only makes sense that if you bring in Aaron Rodgers, you know it's only going to be a one-year shot. You know, the man is 41 years old. You are trying to pull what Brett Favre did in Minnesota 15 years ago. So you have to have that on your mind, and it only makes sense for me, unless Pickens truly forces his way out of here, which
yeah.
he could,
yeah.
you got to keep that dude on the roster. Like, you have to be all in.
Right.
If you go with something like this, because bringing in a 41-year-old quarterback is not a, yeah, we're still building ourselves for the future here. Like, no, you're telling us that you think you can actually do this right now, so all the chips have to be at the center of the table.
And I guess the other thing that comes to mind, Donnie, is just because you visit a facility doesn't mean you leave with a contract. We just saw Russell Wilson, for example, visit the Giants and the Browns and left both places without a deal. For all we know, has he visited the Giants yet? Do we know that, Aaron?
Well, I mean, I imagine he has easy access to it if he wants because he did play for the Jets.
Yeah. So is he going to do both? Or I just wonder. Or does he leave that facility today with an agreement?
I would actually be surprised if by the end of today we had an official deal between
you would?
The Steelers. Yeah, I would. I think this is just part of his long game here. He's holding all the cards, you know, and I said the other day, as annoying as it may be, Aaron Rodgers has the right to take his time on all of this. It is the Steelers are the ones that are keeping themselves in it. So if you want anybody to blame here as to why, like, man, why is this what you guys talk about? Why is this what's important?
Yeah.
You blame the Pittsburgh Steelers. You don't blame us, and you don't blame Aaron Rodgers.
I have been saying that. Yeah. I totally agree that they have looked horrible in this. But then, if they get Aaron Rodgers and he's really good, they're going to turn out to be right. I don't think they will be. I think this is desperate. I think he wasn't their first choice. I don't think he's very good anymore. I could be very wrong. Let's get a gauge on this from you out there. At 412-928-9370. And what I'm interested in is just your initial feel, because normally, like if this was 5 years ago, we'd be having a parade later today. If Aaron, oh boy, what?
Tom Pelissero tweets, Aaron Rodgers did visit the Steelers facility today, as Jerry Dulac reported. No deal is done or imminent, but Rodgers spent time with coaches. Another sign he's seriously considering playing his 21st season in Pittsburgh.
There you go, Donnie. You already have a prediction, right? That he would leave without a deal done. But I'm curious for your gut reaction. Like I said, if this was 5 years ago, or if this was just the immediate plan right after Ben, like somehow they got Aaron Rodgers right then, there would have been mass excitement. Maybe there still is. But we'd love to hear from you just as that news is filtered through your ear and into your brain. What's the gut reaction? Is it excitement? Is it dread? Is it something else that Aaron Rodgers was at the Steelers facility today? And Jerry Dulac saying it's an indication a deal with the team could be forthcoming. You heard Pelissero say that Rodgers left without a deal, but obviously the fact that he was here is a big deal. So your gut reaction at 412-928-9370.
So like I was saying, and it sounds like he did go in and out without putting pen to paper, I think this is part of his long game. You know, we don't know when he's going to make this decision. There are insiders that think it will be around the draft. Some people think that it will be even later than that. I mean, we had Mike Florio, Aditi, among others on the other day, and I thought they brought up a pretty fair point. Now that the Minnesota Vikings are out on Aaron Rodgers, who's to say that he doesn't just take this little summer tour, this offseason tour,
right,
where he goes around, he visits Pittsburgh, he checks out how it is, he checks out the facility, he talks to the coaches, he talks to Art Rooney too, who knows, he talks to everybody, he goes and has a sandwich down the street at one of the famous spots. He could do all of that, but he could go do that really wherever, because who's to say we don't get later into the spring or into the summer or even, you know, 2 weeks into the preseason.
Right.
And let's say that there's a team that is a true contender and the quarterback goes down and they look around and they see Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And think, we bring this guy in, he gives us a whole lot better shot than our backup quarterback.
Pomp has been talking about that, and I still think that's a great possibility. Adam Schefter tweets out, Aaron Rodgers is visiting the Steelers facility and meeting with their coaching staff, as Jerry Dulac reported. No deal at this time is close per source. So, man, we'll see how this plays out. Limits, do you have some initial gut reactions here from people? I think he does, Donnie. Who do we got?
All righty. Full lines. Let's start with Steve, who wants to talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, Steve, what's up?
Hey, first off, great show. I don't think Joe should ever retire.
Thank you.
And my gut reaction is Tomlin and Rodgers are like two peas in a pod. Self-centered, delusional, stubborn, and really not any good for the franchise.
And underachieving in the playoffs, you might add. Yeah, you could have added both underachieving in the playoffs for many years now, too.
Exactly. And that quick, clever take, Joe, is why you should never retire.
Thank you, Cornelius.
I think that's a good point by Steve, because it's something else worth bringing up. We know that the Steelers that Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers like to flirt. You know, there's the image of them a couple of years ago when he's still in Green Bay.
Right, the bromance. They have a bromance.
Rodgers smiles, Tomlin winks at him.
Right.
They like to flirt. Would they like to date?
Yeah.
I think that's a whole lot different.
Here's two things. I don't know this for sure, but all the reporting on it, plus my gut feel tells me this is completely a Mike Tomlin operation to get Aaron Rodgers in here. And two, if it fails miserably and completely blows up, there will be absolutely zero ramification for Mike Tomlin. He brought in Kenny Pickett and Matt Canada. And when that failed spectacularly and they got rid of both, you might have thought that offseason, wow, was Tomlin sort of attached to those guys with his fate? Not really. In fact, the response from Art was to give Mike a longer than usual contract extension and a nice raise that made him the fifth highest paid coach in all of American sports. So if you're thinking out there, wow, if Tomlin's really wrong about this, we could be looking at maybe something happening there. Don't look. Ain't happening. There will be no ramifications. He runs the organization. I'm convinced this is absolutely a Tomlin production, and we'll see if he's right. I don't think he is.
The other thing that I do find kind of humorous that we get from listeners, and I'm not saying that this is like the wrong opinion or anything or the wrong thought, but it is funny when you ask people if they would want Aaron Rodgers here before they even get into his ability on the field at 41 years old.
Yeah.
One of the main points that people will make is, well, you bring in Aaron Rodgers and he'll be finally the guy that tells Tomlin how it goes. It won't be the other way around.
That ain't happening either. Do you agree with that?
I think Rodgers will have more control than most have had.
You think he'll have control at the line of scrimmage, unlike Ben and Russell Wilson? Somebody should tell him, by the way, when he goes into those negotiations with the coaches, hey, Mike, it's my understanding that Ben Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson both had their freedoms at the line curtailed on whether they could change plays. Can we talk about that for a second?
I mean, that is a detail that could truly derail this thing.
Yeah.
Rodgers finding out, hey, I'm not going to have full control. And now here's the difficulty of it. You have two past quarterbacks. I mean, one of them as recently as last year.
Just to be clear, for people listening, Donnie, this is Aaron Rodgers visiting the facility. No deal, but obviously a big development. Go ahead.
But you have Russell Wilson in here last season, a guy that doesn't quite have the accolades of Aaron Rodgers, but I think has a pretty decent shot of also being in the Hall of Fame one day.
Yeah.
Regardless, a man who has a great pedigree behind him, a great career behind him.
Right.
And he had those things taken away. It's going to take a lot of convincing, I feel.
Let's go back to Doug Whaley here, who said that the Steelers are nailing the offseason. Jeff tipped us off to these comments yesterday. I'm usually in my car from 9 to 10 on Wednesdays. I must have missed that part. So I'm happy to rewind and go back to it here and discuss it. And Doug, this is GM, like, hat tip to another GM. Like, hey, you're playing chess here. You're doing a great job. You're accumulating all these compensatory picks for 2026. You've got your eye on the prize here for the future of the Steelers. But he kept saying things like, besides quarterback. Okay, like...
Other than... It's the Mrs. Lincoln line,
100%.
It just is, man. I don't want to go to that well too often, but it's true.
The rest of the team is starting to look good, but you don't have the number one or most important position nailed down.
Not only do you not have it nailed down, you're, like, flailing. You don't even seem to have a plan in place.
I can't give anybody... Like, nailing the offseason when you have no clue what's going on at quarterback... No, I can't do that. I can't say that. I can't.
It's like saying, hey, I assigned you a book report, and the first paragraph of your book report, really good. The concluding paragraph, terrific. Everything in between is some of the most illegible, unreadable garbage I've ever seen. But you're doing a great job. You know, 90% of what you wrote here is Billy Madison level gibberish, but really, I've got the rest of it, man. Perfect.
What grade would you give the Steelers on their offseason move so far?
C-.
Okay.
C-.
Explain it. Show your
average. I mean, I think it's I guess better than not that they got Metcalf, although I still hate giving up a second and not like a third or a fourth. Mike Florio thought he could be had for maybe a third or a fourth. The contract is nowhere near as prohibitive to them as like the numbers appear on their face when you look at what's actually guaranteed to Metcalf. So they did not assume like a massive amount of risk. I don't know if you like looked it up on SpotTrack or anything. It's just not a super... It's not like a super ultra guarantee, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's structured very similar to how Watts was or Minka's was. So I don't think in balance that's a bad move, but really bold play, Cotton, to say, yeah, getting a wide receiver is going to help us lure a quarterback when you haven't lured a quarterback yet. In every other, I don't mind the Kenneth Gainwell move. I still maintain that he's pretty redundant.
I like it, but we're talking about, like, man, if we're going to rank
down
their
back.
Roster, it's like the 40th most important
right.
player on their
he's
team.
He's a third down back, and he did ball out against them, and I think he's a good football player, but he's kind of redundant with Warren. I still don't think, let me put it this way, signing Kenneth Gainwell now that Harris is gone does not make your running back room settled. You know what I mean? Like, most people would agree.
And I'm nervous they're going to take a running back in the first round.
No, I don't think they will. But most people I've seen, even like PFF folks who used to be very anti-running back anywhere near the top two rounds, are saying they better take one by about the fourth. So, like, with their third pick in the draft, one of the first three has to be a back unless they trade Pickens, let's say. And then suddenly their wide receiver room is thinner again. I don't really see moves here other than a very splashy deal for Metcalf in a trade, which I think they overpaid slightly to do, that make me think like, oh yeah, this team is on a really good track here. So I would give it a slightly below average grade. When we do these grades, just to be clear, I try to adhere to C as a legitimate average grade. And you probably would agree with me that most people, when you see your kid brings home a C, you're like, what the hell? But I truly try to say C is average. Anything above C really is good.
Unless you're used to your kid being an F student, that's not
right.
A good thing.
But like, so, right, exactly. So I would give them a slightly below average grade for this offseason. I can't possibly go higher than that.
Donnie, do you feel like the Steelers are nailing the offseason?
No, I can't say that this is a nailing of the offseason. I do respect Doug for his opinion, but, I mean, beyond leaving out the quarterback thing, which I know he mentioned – they are doing something that we see the Pirates do a lot of. Beyond the trade for DK Metcalf, it has been mostly signing guys to one-year deals. Guys that are veterans, guys that don't play a ton. I mean, they're signing legitimate no-name defensive tackles that will be on this team because they are
total depth stuff,
quarterback.
Donnie.
Yeah,
total
depth
stuff.
You know, Gainwell can be a nice little player, but he's not going to be a game-changing player. trying to think of what else they've done. And then they've just brought back some guys that probably still shouldn't be here. Thinking of Isaiah Loudermilk, James Pierre, guys who are battling with each other to see who
special teams type of players.
Yeah, we didn't get into the big Pierre re-signing today. Thank you for bringing that
up, Donnie. You know what they've done? I'll let you finish, but like you just jogged something in my mind talking about like depth guys. The entire offseason has been almost without exception, other than Metcalf, obviously, and Gainwell to a slight extent. It reminds me of every player, regardless of their position, is in terms of potential impact, like Braden Faoko. You know what I mean?
I can't say the entire offseason, though, because they brought Metcalf in.
I just said
him. But that's like Whaley saying accept.
It's a little bit of other yeah, but he's also going to be as good as the guy throwing him the ball to an extent.
I could be wrong, but is the only guy that they've signed to a multi-year deal from the outside? Malik Harrison, the guy that replaced Landon Roberts, who he's not
who's
a better player than
he's
anyway.
He's a downgrade.
I didn't like that
He's
move.
A downgrade over E-Rob.
I didn't like that move.
And E-Rob wanted to stay here, it sounds like. E-Rob, think about what that says about them. Hold on. You have Fields saying earlier that we talked about, basically, like, I love the idea of playing for Aaron Glenn. It's an obvious shot at Tomlin. And then you've got Landon Roberts, who we all like, yes. I mean, when we have these guys who do shows, we think highly of them. But he also was an all-business thumper on the field. They didn't want him, and they signed an inferior player to more money.
So I know I just said they don't have the quarterback thing figured out, and that's why I can't agree with Doug that they've nailed their offseason. But here's why I don't think he's that far off. If they don't get Aaron Rodgers and they just go through the season, they end up playing this year with Mason Rudolph, a rookie, and some other schlub, and they've got all these comp picks coming, then they've actually done what a lot of us have wanted them to do, which is build a roster
that's ready for a rookie quarterback.
No, I was going to say build a roster that's like not really set up to win
this year. Well, I thought you meant you were talking about specifically their offense. Forget it. Yes, they're building a bad roster. Yes. And they could roll over cap space next year.
Right. Like, if they don't get Rodgers and they end up putting a quarterback out there that makes people think that they're not that serious or that, like, hell-bent on winning this year, that's progress to me. Now, their pursuit of Rodgers says they don't actually feel that way, so if they finish the job and actually get him, then of course I'm going to slam them.
Do you think that they're doing this almost I think, though, that what you're saying is what they've done accidentally, to be very clear, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but then can you really answer Doug's question with they've had a great offseason? No, because
that's why I said I don't agree with them yet, but I'm saying they're not that far away from that.
No, but even if they don't get Rodgers and then they get to the point where you're describing, hey, they've built a bad roster, I don't think you can give a team – it's just the same way when it goes right for a team. If, just to use an example, the Pirates had a 95-win team this year somehow, but they didn't do hardly anything in the offseason. Let's say Horwitz and those guys that don't help. Andrew Heaney doesn't help them. You'd say, wow, great result, bad process, right? Like, they essentially won in spite of themselves. If you're saying they've managed to do something we all want them to do, which would be build a pretty bad roster to get, like, a better draft spot next year, but they were trying to build a good one, can you really give them credit for that?
Steve.
A little bit more Bucko talk right now with our guy. Just a budding young superstar, Noah Hiles of the Post-Gazette. Noah, how are you today, buddy? What's going on?
I'm well, guys. I'm also not that young. I'm 30 now, so I appreciate the compliment, but, you know, I'm not an up-and-comer or anything.
Okay, so here's the deal.
I have a bone to pick with him, too.
But you want to pick that bone?
I mean, I do have a bone to pick with you. Every time that you go on with any other show, you tweet it out that you're going on. You don't tweet out the word
you're
calling
on
us. You did it last week, too, and I recognize it. I just want to know why.
No, I tweeted last week that I was coming on.
I don't think so.
Yeah, today, hand up. I got a DoorDash order on the way, and I'm really excited about it. So I was just kind of waiting outside like a little kid, and this totally slipped my mind.
What is Noah Hiles eating for breakfast today?
Breakfast tacos?
No, it's bad. It's bad. I'm going donuts today. I've had good breakfast the whole time I'm down here, but I after March Madness, I just ate like crap all yesterday, so I'm just continuing it this morning.
People know you're a big hoops guy too, so we'll get into the Buccos in a serious matter in a second, but what happened to you yesterday in terms of the bracket, Noah, or like your favorite storyline, your favorite bad storyline? What were you paying attention to? What's noteworthy for you today?
I mean, the Amir Khan experience has encapsulated the entire world, I think, or has encaptured the entire world. That kid is he's this year's Sister Jean, or the manager from, or the SID from Fairleigh Dickinson a couple years ago. He's the off the court story. And I've been familiar with his game since late February when he first went viral. McNeese State's obviously an interesting program just because of its head coach, Will Wade. So I've been all in on McNeese State for a while. I thought they were kind of fraudulent, but I guess they were wrong on the, I was wrong on that on the court. They looked really good against Clemson yesterday. They outcoached them, and won that one, but it was a good first round. I mean, I don't think, or good first day of first round. I don't think there were any crazy surprises, but there were some close games down the stretch, I think, there.
Yeah, and future Mountaineer head coach Ben McCollum, an outstanding X's and O's coach. And he wears a tie. I'm back for that now. Give me the guy with the tie. That's what I need. For those of you who don't know, this Amir Khan is the McNeese State. He's a manager, and he's going to get like all these NIL deals. And I'm going to start this campaign up right now. Like, we'll wait on the out the door. Going to NC State. Let this guy be the coach.
Well, what did he do to become so popular?
He's a social media star. He's like flopping around and just kind of having the time of his life.
He walked down the tunnel with like a boombox rapping to a song. And he's just like this 5'6" kid with, you know, he kind of looks a little dorky, but he was on beat with like every bar for that one song he was rapping. And then, it just became a trend where now they do it before every game. Buffalo Wild Wings sponsored a boombox for him to carry out.
Unreal.
So yeah, he's got like 4 or 5 NIL deals. I every couple hours I check his Instagram to see how many followers he's gaining. He's up to like 25,000 or something that now.
Well, he topped me.
It's awesome.
So we've got now the kid who sells the Skeens card making more money than Skeens, and we've got Amir Khan probably making more money than Paul Skeens this year, which is just wild. All right.
Yeah.
Sticking with baseball, man, what a radio transition there. Anything new on Jared Jones? I know that they were seeking a second opinion. And then what do you think the rotation is that they'll take into the season here, Noah?
Yeah, I expect there to be something new today. Nothing as of, you know, 8:43. But I think that we might have some new information either today or tomorrow on Jared. And as far as the rotation, I mean, you would have to assume he's going to just miss a little time. And this is just speculation on my end. But when he's missing his final start in spring training, you can't really send anyone into the regular season after having their last week and a half of work altered on the mound. So I would think that this is going to impact it just a little bit, even if he has to just miss one start, that they're going to have to find someone to cover the innings that he was going to pitch in the first series of the season. So when you look at those options, you can go to one of two ways. If it's just a temporary absence and he'll be back soon, they can go Carmen Majinski in that fifth rotation spot, a guy who's been a bullpen arm for the last 2 years, who's been stretched out to be a starter this year. And you could treat him as a fifth starter, or you could piggyback him and Caleb Ferguson to get you through one or two starts until Jared's back. Now, if Jared's going to miss more time than that, then I think they go Thomas Harrington. He's the only rookie arm they still have in big league camp right now. They're clearly high on this guy. Obviously, I still think they're high on guys like Chandler, Ashcraft, Burrows as well, but they're not with the big league team right now. They've already been sent down to the minor league camp. So I think if they're looking for a traditional starter, it would be Thomas Harrington.
How do you think this, if at all, impacts the usage of Paul Skeens? I mean, we know how careful they were with these guys last year. There's the infamous performance where Jones got pulled 50 strikes, 59 pitches against the Mets. Like, are they going to be in panic mode here? Like, we're going to be skipping Skeens starts. We're going to pull them after, you know, however many pitches. How do you think this impacts them?
I don't think it'll have much of an impact. I mean, these are two completely different people, like biologically. One is 5'10", one's 6'6", and 50 pounds heavier. Their bodies are built to handle things differently. And credit to Jared. I mean, this wasn't something that he tried to hide from the team or anything. Like, they know about this because he felt a little discomfort and went to the team. And quite frankly, as someone who's covered Jared Jones, I don't think that would have happened last year. Jared's the type of guy who's a competitor and would try to, I think in the past, try to power through something like this, and which could potentially make it worse. I think this is a sign of maturity where he's saying, even if it's just 5% not feeling right, it's spring training. Mm. This is the time to bring this up now. I would rather miss a month or so now as opposed to making this way worse and making it something, you know, a completely different type of situation. And I'm not saying I know one way or the other how this is going to unfold, but I think as far as Jarrett handled it, it's about as good as you could hope a young athlete who's ultra competitive to do so. But I don't think that that's going to have an impact on how they manage any of their other young arms because they're all completely different. I mean, Jarrett Jones is a guy who's been in pro ball for 4 or 5 years now, where Paul Skenes hasn't even been a full-time pitcher for that long. It's apples and oranges. So I don't see it impacting Skenes' usage at all.
Noah, does Robert Morris merely win by a single-digit margin today, or are they beating them by a dozen or more? What do you think?
Oh, man, I really hope. That would be great. I remember when I was in high school during a baseball practice, like baseball practice stopped because they gave Villanova a game. That would have been, what, in like 2011, yeah, something around there. I remember like where I was. We were all like sitting in the bleachers watching the score updates on our phones because you couldn't even stream it on a phone back then. I'm really excited for Bobby Moe. I think Bama is probably the most fraudulent two seed out of all of them.
Wow.
Big.
Yes. They don't play defense, and their best player had, in my opinion, a very disappointing year in Sears. I mean, when you can go games at a time without scoring and still be an All-American, that just shows you're inconsistent to me. So maybe Bobby Moe catches them sleeping and gives them a game. I certainly hope so. I think it's going to be closer than 22 points, I'll say that.
I agree, and Sears so disappointing that they're actually calling him Gimbals, Doran. That's a joke for the old people out there, and a bad one at that. Thank you, Noah. We appreciate your time. Enjoy your donuts.
I will. Thanks for having me on. And I did tweet.
Whatever.
I did tweet. You'll get
whatever.
Too late. Whatever. Too late.
That's why I didn't ask any questions. I'm mad at you.
The final ever appearance of Noah Hyles on the Fan Morning Show. See ya.
I'm pissed.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
He remembers where he was whenever RMU lost a game to Villanova. Like, that's basketball love right there. Like, they didn't even win the game. They were in the game.
Where did he go to college?
Noah Hyles?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Anybody know?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. I'm going to text him.
I'm informed by Diana, she worked in restaurants, so did I, by the way, for a good 10 years, a good decade, that gloves are filthy. It's actually cleaner to use your hands as they are always in water. I don't really understand the last part, but okay.
There you go.
Charlie, could you take the mic for a moment? It was last night that I was at a coffee shop, and I was alarmed that the man behind the counter used his bare hands and covered up the top, the lid, including the hole where I would be drinking of, with his bare hands. But now I hear from other restaurant workers, and I was just telling Limits, I worked in restaurants myself for a decade, but times were different then, that using gloves to prepare these things is actually less cleanly than using your bare hands. What, your take on this?
So I've been a bartender for the last 12 years, 13 years?
Yeah.
I've never thought to use gloves, ever, in any way, shape, or form.
Right, but you also don't hand somebody a drink by palming the top of the cup.
Absolutely. Like, if I ever see somebody that's new that makes a drink and then they put their hand on top of the glass, especially after making it, like, your fingers are touching the rim. Even though you give them a straw, yeah, they're still touching.
It's like goaltending. Yeah, you can't have the hand above the rim. Right.
I would not think to use gloves. And if somebody does use gloves, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to change the gloves that they're working with. Therefore, they're going to get dirtier. But you're consistently washing your hands. You're washing dishes.
Exactly.
You're consistently washing your hands. So if they have the gloves on, no, thank you. I'm good.
Starting to think this through, and perhaps the compromise here is that the person last night should have grabbed the lid from the sides and not palmed it, right? A lot of basketball violations involved here. Palming, goaltending, things like that. That's the moral of the story, though, is if you're preparing that, grab it by the side and not the top.
As long as there wasn't like a, what was it? What is it? Like the
carry? That's palming. Yeah, palming. Carrying. Yeah. Yeah.
As long as they didn't throw the drink at you.
Limits, let, not yet, no.
Exactly.
Limits,
depending on how you tip.
Let's go to our latest Jackson Dart fan. This was tremendous. This was Dan Orlovsky has joined myself, the illustrious Jack Ham, the illustrious Pat Bostick. We're all on the Jackson Dart bandwagon, and, man, there's plenty of room for Orlovsky, and I don't really even like him very much, but I do respect his quarterback knowledge, except when it comes to stepping out of bounds in the end zone while you're scrambling, of course. Here's Dan Orlovsky from ESPN on the soon-to-be-great Jackson Dart.
So I've heard it said that Jackson Dart from Ole Miss doesn't really get through progressions or have to, and doesn't play on time. And then the second thing was all his completions are built in. And I would just disagree strongly with that and ask, what tape do you watch? Read-wise, trying to look at. Number one, you have an inside slot fade, and then you have a stick route that gets to a basically 5 yards or the sticks and breaks out. I think you start your read there more than likely versus man coverage. And that's what you have up top. You have man, man, man. And then at the bottom, it looks like a triangle. 1, 2, 3 over 2, 1, 2. So you could tell Dart catches that snap and is looking up top. Now, with that slot fade getting played off by that defender, I would assume he's getting taught. We're not throwing that. Press, we could run to space, throw it. So we're really starting to think, number one, we want to throw that stick route. It's 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6. Let's get it out if we like the matchup. He sees that that defender drives it. Could you have forced it to him? Maybe. Maybe. But he drives it. When if you see that defender drives it and no one is left in the middle of the field, we can get to a number 2 or number 3. That's our high, low, in and out read. Levels concept backside where this guy pushes up to about the depth of 5 or 6 yards where the sticks are, and he's going to run a wrap in. And it's a throw on time. So number one, catch and set, not there. Quickly get his eyes to number two. You're reading this defender. He drops out. We want to put the ball right now. He stays low. This receiver's got to flatten before the safety drives, and we rip it. But it's got to happen now. Can't go hitch. Back foot in the ground, pin it on his chest. That's progression. One, look how quickly it happens. One, Mississippi. Two, ball out. That's reading it. That's seeing it, and that's playing on time. Seeing it and playing on time while also throwing the ball exactly where it needs to be accuracy-wise. So you want the guy certainly to diagnose and understand 3,000%. You also want the guy to make the throw. Can you make the throw?
That's beautiful stuff. A little bit of jargon in there, but that was Dan Orlovsky breaking down Jackson Dart and basically speaking, and he was speaking directly to the Mulseys of the world, who claim that his college offense with Lane Kiffin is sort of hand-prepared for him. Here, throw to that open guy.
point B. You know, we have the big billboards on the sidelines, you know, with pictures of fruit on them and things like that that tell you what's happening out there. And all you have to do is drop back and throw it where Lane predetermines it should go to. And it's just not true. And you heard Dan Orlovsky say that. He talked about progressions. He talked about all these people saying that the completions are built in with Lane Kiffin. What tape are you watching? And then he went through it, and that's the key. I mean, all joking aside, this is one of the things that I wanted to look at and analyze before I went on the air here, before I wrote a column saying, let's go with Jackson Dart. Here's Andrew Filippone, another Jackson Dart doubter. He doesn't think he goes through his progressions. Him and Malzie both think the offense is handmade for him. Just go to point B like Lane said. He's wrong. Malzie's wrong. You're wrong, Limits. This guy can do that. He can process the game. He proved it. Orlovsky proved it on tape. And that, my friends, is the name of the game when you're playing quarterback in the NFL. It's not can you throw the ball like a closer. It's not can you throw a splinker like Paul Skeens. It's not any of that stuff, although that stuff sure helps when you combine it with an ability to process the game. Can you drop into a pocket against the most elite athletes in the world, both in the secondary and the guys who are trying to break your legs? And can you process while all that is happening? Can you get through your progressions? Can you throw guys open? Can you identify things before the snap that you want to exploit? Can you get out of a bad play and into a good play? Well, you can't in Pittsburgh because the coach won't let you. But can you generally? That's the difference between all these guys who are busts and the ones who become good and even great. That's the difference. When I talked to Ray Horton, the old Steelers defensive coordinator, and said, you know, is it Manning or Brady? Who's the best guy? I said, it's Brady. They both process the game, but Brady beats us with his brains. That's what he does. Patrick Mahomes beats you with his brain more than anything else. And then there's all these guys who get picked in the first round who can't play in the end, or aren't elite at least in the end. It's because of that, largely. That's largely the common denominator among Kenny Pickett, Justin Fields, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Johnny Football, Tim Tebow, Josh Rosen, Joey Harrington, Matt Leinart, Christian Ponder, and anybody else you want to pick. The common denominator is once they got to the elite level, they couldn't process the game. Period. Now, there were other problems. You know, Tim Tebow couldn't really throw the ball. That's not ideal. But you get the picture here. And this guy, according to Orlovsky, in his tape breakdown, can do that. Contrary to popular belief, because he's in a Lane Kiffin offense, he can process the game. He can play immediately in the NFL. That's the difference here. A guy like Jaden Daniels walks into the NFL. We don't know about him yet. He obviously has all the natural skills. Great arm, can run, phenomenal. Well, what's going to happen when he gets to the league? Well, we all saw what happened. He beats you with his brain, too. Or mostly. That's what happened. Bo Nix, the same thing. And it's the one thing that you can't project. It's impossible to project for even the smartest football people watching college football. Is this dude, when he has Myles Garrett coming in on him, when he has Patrick Surtain covering his best receiver, when he enters the land of elite athletes, either covering his targets or trying to maim him, how does he process the game at 100 miles an hour? Can't tell in college football because you're not going against those elite athletes and the game's not moving at 100 miles an hour. Impossible to project. That's why people for decades and decades and decades miss on quarterbacks all the time. It's not projectable. Now you can say, well, if it's not projectable, then what are we talking about with Orlovsky? Well, at least he's saying here that it's not like everything's just paint by numbers for Jackson Dart. And I'll frankly admit, with Jackson Dart or any other quarterback who's ever played the game, it's unprojectable. But at least, I would say on the negative side, it probably is. Or at least you have major concerns with some guys if it's clearly a paint-by-numbers offense where all he's doing is throwing the ball where the head coach or coordinator, you know, predetermined that it should go. I don't have that concern necessarily with Jackson Dart limits. More to the point, I'm happily welcoming Dan Orlovsky to the bandwagon. I may even give him a chance to drive it once in a while. Him and Jack Ham and Pat Bostic are now sitting in the front seats. There's only room enough for four in the front two seats. I used to travel with the Penguins. You get on the bus, it's the GM in the front seat. It's the head coach in the second seat, and then the top two assistants in the third seat. That's what we have right now. We have Dan Orlovsky, maybe in the second seat, Jack Ham driving the bus, Pat Bostic in the third seat, and the savvy old news hound in the fourth seat, orchestrating the whole thing and welcoming anybody who wants to join in. I've even gotten Bob to budge a little bit. What's it going to take for you, big boy?
You to completely drop the entire thing. Because I am, from everything that I've watched, from everything that I believe about this year's class compared to next year's class and what the Steelers' needs are and wanting them to pick a defensive lineman or a wide receiver in this year's draft, I will not budge on my Jackson Dart take.
You're going to be wrong.
And no, I will not.
Call me crazy, but now I'm going with Jack Ham and Dan Orlovsky over you, at least for now. We have an early treat here. These guys are already going crazy. Pony has a legendary Syracuse jersey on, I might add. And this is fun. Come join us at Rivers Casino. This is the best. Let's go back to Pat Bostic and what he said about Dart. Just because I want to rub it in. I want to enjoy my time. What did Bostic say on our station about Dart?
Jackson Dart.
Oh, he's on Dart, Doran!
Yeah.
You think it's a good idea?
If they don't have a quarterback.
You think it's a good...
Here's where... And I've been getting some stuff about me not liking a quarterback last year and saw that obviously Bo Nix has been terrific. So has Jaden Daniels. Caleb Williams obviously didn't perform great, but you know the ceiling's there. This class has grown on me a little bit. Is it great? Who knows? The last five haven't been that good, with the exception of last year.
And Trevor Lawrence never panned out.
Every other one's been average at best, if not below. Next year, Arch Manning hasn't played but for a couple games. Nico Iamaleva from, I don't know if I pronounced that right, from
Tennessee.
I've watched him play a number of times. Doesn't jump off the page to me. Drew Aller, what we saw in the playoff. And then your Lenore Sellers, a lot of upside. Really talented. Garrett Nussmeier from LSU, solid. Cade Klubnik. But like, this isn't, I don't see career accomplishment-wise. This class has more career accomplishments in the class, in college. And I think that Jackson Dart's as close to a Bo Nix type player as you're going to get in this class. I personally wouldn't go with Shedeur Sanders because of all the other things, but I could see the Steelers doing it if there's no other option. But if you have Aaron Rodgers here, it would make more sense to go for a Jackson Dart if you feel like he's the guy at 21 or later if he's available. Because I think Cam Ward goes one overall. But my ranking would be Ward, Dart, Sanders, probably Shuck.
I'd add that Mel Kiper has weighed in, and he seems to really like Jackson Dart. And also, I think he had them. Did he have them going number 9 to New Orleans? Is that right? He sees him as a top 10 pick right now. I just wonder, is all of this as, who was it that suggested on Pony and Muller? Steve Palazzolo. Is all this just PR hype? I mean, did his agent hype this into existence? I find that hard to believe when I find very credible people really high at the moment on Jackson Dart. And yes, Kiper is one of them. He sees him as a top 10 pick. He doesn't think he's going to be there at number 21 or anywhere close. He's got him going at number 9. But he's another advocate that if he's there for the Steelers, it sounds like Kuiper may go with that pick limit. So, you know, regardless, and I'm sure still most people agree with you that they don't want the Steelers to do it, but it has become a hell of a story, hasn't it?
Yeah, it definitely has. Like, the fact that, especially with the more and more that Rodgers waits and you think about other options and where the Steelers could actually go, and knowing Cam Ward's probably going to be a top five pick, Sanders maybe top 10, like, Dart is that guy that you can shoehorn in right to that 21 position, especially with no other free agents or no other trade options. It's Rodgers or Mason Rudolph or Jackson Dart. Like, that is it. That is the small handful of options we have. So I understand why there's so many people that are piquing their interest about it, yes. And when you're a quarterback needy team and you're a franchise that hasn't had a franchise quarterback since Ben left, yeah, any option that is potentially available, it is right to at least question or wonder if that should be the move.
And I'll say this too. I think that Aaron Rodgers would be a decent mentor. I think that Jordan Love has indicated that he is. And if you watch that Netflix special, and sometimes things are slanted in a certain way, I get that, but it sure seems like Rodgers did not want to repeat what had been done to him, where Brett Favre absolutely gave him the cold shoulder and didn't treat him well at all and was anything but a mentor. It seems like he said to himself, I'm not going to be that way if I'm ever in that position. And while he was reported to be extremely unhappy with the fact that the Packers took Jordan Love instead of getting somebody who could help him win, once Love got there, he was very good to him. So I think that if it were to be Aaron Rodgers and Dart or another guy, you know, a guy in the second or third round, Milrow, I don't know, if the Steelers pick a quarterback, and if it should be Aaron Rodgers as their starter and Mason Rudolph, and they have another guy sort of in waiting, I don't think that there would be a problem. In fact, it might be just the opposite.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough for me, Joe. I mean, this is where I ultimately fall on it. Like, it is obvious that, and some people make the argument that you should pick a quarterback every year. For me, like, if I don't feel like really comfortable and really confident in the guy that they're picking, I don't want them to draft a Dart type of guy, just because I feel like, whether it's, unless you're the Arizona Cardinals moving off of Josh Rosen to have the number one pick for Kyler Murray, you're going to give whoever you draft, especially with that high at capital, at least 2 years to be able to have a chance and start. So, like, if you do honestly believe that next year's draft class is better, I feel like the Steelers will feel obligated if they pick Dart and it's just like, okay, or
yeah,
maybe it doesn't go well.
Yeah, that would be the same as Kenny Pickett. You don't reach for somebody you don't love.
Right.
If you love him and you think he'd be a franchise quarterback, not only do you take him, you move up to get him.
But I did want to serve the Pirates audience, too, with technically the Major League Baseball season starting today. And the projected standings went up on FanDuel, where based on the win totals, they mapped out how they think, how the odds makers think the year is going to go. And what do you know? Third time's the charm. If you liked 2023 and 2024, wait till you get a load of 2025, because the projected finish for the Buccos, 76-86. That's never happened, right, Donnie? Look it up. In the history of the Pirates, they've been around since the 1800s. Have they ever finished with the exact same win total 3 years in a row? I'm guessing no. I'm going to take my chances here. If I'm wrong about this, I will...
I will.
Did Starkey ever get you a steak dinner, Don?
No, he still owes me that.
I'll actually come through and do it. Then I'll Venmo you money for it right now, if it's happened. 3 years
Wait
in a row,
minute.
Same
isn't
total.
Isn't the implication that you're supposed to take Donnie out for the steak dinner, not just pay him for
it? Oh, I don't know. What was the deal with Starkey? Is he supposed...
I believe Joe has to take me out for it.
Oh. And it's just hard to fit into his...
busy schedule of golfing.
I mean, yeah, now the weather's
golf,
nice, it's
golf.
Game over.
His busy schedule of golfing, thinking about golf,
yeah,
and getting
golf. I'm going to be filling in more often than I get asked about a steak dinner.
I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world. More money
not
in Don's
me.
Pocket.
So, funny thing happened. I went to Bradenton. There was negativity in some of the things I sensed, but I fought back on it and was positive about the Pirates.
You fought back.
Now I feel terrible about them. because I think I've tried to avoid deep dives.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took some time today to just look at things. And now what I'm about to say is not a super deep dive. This is still the shallow end of the pool.
Okay.
But these are just three basic things about their team, or actually a few more than three, but just some basic facts about them that annoy me and make me think that they're going to actually be worse than 76 wins.
I'm excited to hear this.
Tommy Pham leads off. Andrew McCutchen bats cleanup. DJ Stewart is projected to be their opening day first baseman. Key Brian Hayes is being counted on to be a run producer this year after he hit 233 with four home runs in his back. Always drives him nuts. It doesn't seem like David Bednar is right.
It seems like David Bednar is extremely wrong. He went 1-2-3 today, and somebody said, I think it was Noah Hiles or somebody else covering the game, that's his best inning of the spring.
Okay, so maybe I should have factored that into saying...
There
okay.
are people saying they shouldn't even bring him north. He's been so bad this spring.
Well, he looked good today, so I'm going to give them an extra win. So they're going from 73 to 74 for me right now.
Okay.
Mitch Keller, 5.65 ERA after the All-Star break last year. It's now not a one-off. It's a trend. It's happened 2 years in a row. It's a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I'm holding my breath on is what Jared Jones are we going to get? Because after he was shut down last year and he came back, his ERA was almost 5.87. I don't think he'll be that bad. But also there's a part of me that thinks what we saw early in the season from him, he'll never recapture. So that means he's in the middle, which means he's a good starter but never a great one. And so you add all that up, offensive futility, big time, with a capital F for this team. As futile as it gets, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So on paper, I see a worse team than last year.
I don't see a
and
better one.
It took
one.
Me a little while to get there, and if that's where you've been the entire time, well, now I'm in the...
The Mulsey camp? Because that's where I've been. I've thought from moment one they were going to be, and almost like spitefully because I'm so frustrated, not surprised, but frustrated by their refusal... to make moves that that suggest they understand what kind of a gift they have in Paul Skeens. I have almost spitefully said I think they're going to be worse, but I actually think that's backed up objectively when you look at the roster they're putting out there.
Donnie, you said you're no longer glass half full on the Pirates. You've given up on that.
I want to say last year I had them winning 80 games.
Yeah, now where are you now?
78.
So you're a tad bit better.
Well, a tad bit better than what the betting market says, but a tad bit worse than what I had them last year. And you would think, knowing what they have in Paul Skeens, having like the premier pitcher in baseball and certainly the best one in the National League and their own division,
set to make 30 plus starts,
you would think that it would be a little bit better than that. By the way, it has never happened in team history, three consecutive years of the same record. But listen to this: 2005, 67-95, 2006, 67-95, 2007, 68-94, 2008, 67-95.
Holy cow.
Could set your watch to those guys.
You would
think too, like, hold on, let's say Skeens makes 30, you want to say 32 starts, Pony 33, something in that range. Let's say he's fully healthy, right? How many starts did you say he makes?
32.
Okay. What would you project if he stays fully healthy and he is the Paul Skeens we saw last year? What should their record be in those games? Like, I would say something along the order of...
20-12.
I was going to say even like 22-10, 23-9. Like, you expect
him... Let's not get carried away. There's still a third of a baseball game every time he leaves to
okay,
be played.
Okay, I guess my point... My statement should have been... If he pitched for a really good team around him, you'd expect like 24-8, right? Like, if it's a good bullpen, like trustworthy, good run environment for him, team's going to score some runs. He'll be, you know, he'll likely win 24, 25 games. They're really good, and so is he. How many games did he have last year where he gave up zero or one run?
And lost. Got a no decision.
Yeah. Like, how many times did he have a stat where it was he left the game having given up at most one run and did not leave with a lead?
What do you think the Pirates' record was in games he started last year?
See, I didn't look that up before I.
They made 23 starts.
I think they probably went 13-10.
Don?
I was thinking the same thing, so I'll go 14-9.
15-8.
I'm surprised by that.
But here is their record in games where he gave up fewer than two runs last year. 0-1, 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, 3-3, 3-4, and then obviously every game where he gave up no runs, they won. But in games where he gave up one or two runs, they were 3-4 last year.
That just underscores the and they've done nothing to shore up that part of their team, i.e. their ability to hit. That just underscores the fact that they've looked at what he was, looked at in theory what they could be, and just said, nah, we're not really going to do anything drastic to try to improve this situation. What you said about Hayes and what they are absolutely
counting on. Oh, wait, hold on a second. I need to...
Yes, please, set the record straight.
There were more games... I went to the wrong game log on Baseball Reference. So when he gave up two or... So obviously... One or two runs. They were 1-0, 2-0, 2-2, 3-2, 3-4... 4-4, 4-6, 6-6, 6-7. So it's not any better. It's just more games.
Did they have any games where he gave up zero runs and they still lost the game because they left it 0-0?
No.
Okay.
No.
My point is, it underscores their problem. They had a losing record when he gave up, what, one or two? So that's, you would expect you might lose one or two of those 13 games hard luck style, not go 6-7. And they just, in this offseason, said, our big move to address this is going to be to trade some of our pitching depth for a guy named Spencer Horwitz, who we knew had a pre-existing condition with his wrist, who people already thought to begin with might not have his power translate the way some thought it would. And that was a risk in and of itself before the injury became known that he needed surgery for. They're counting on, Pony, they're counting on Ke'Bryan Hayes, a guy whose back might give out at any second. Even as I'm talking right now, I have to allow for that possibility. To be, what, probably a 12 to 15 home run, like knock in 80 to 85, right? A guy whose OPS is in the mid-700s. They're counting on Joey Bart, who does have draft pedigree, but really has this last season he played under his belt as like a, holy crap, Joey Bart can hit a little bit, I think, to be a middle-of-the-order producer. They still don't have a first baseman. We have no idea how it's going to shake out, no matter what moves they made. Brian Reynolds is their most steady and consistent player. Their most explosive bat is going to be asked full-time to play now a position that is the most demanding in the outfield.
And I think he'll be fine, but the problem is they need him to be better than fine. They need him to be great.
He needs
great.
To be a star.
Yeah.
His OPS last year, what do you think it was off the top of your head, Cruz? Top of your head. Donnie, OPS for Cruz last year.
765.
Donnie?
Actually, I'm going to say 770.
I'll go 780.
Price is Right rules. Pony wins. Andy wins by being closer anyway. 773. His physical profile and skill set, like, you know what my number was that I wrote down, Pony, on here? Because I had him as, like, a specific number guy. Give me an 850 OPS. I know those aren't as common as they were anymore, like, in the early 2000s when everyone had one. Give me, like, an 850 OPS, because that probably puts you in the very top tier of MLB outfielders and NL outfielders.
All right, so we had the Najee Harris clip, you know, 23 minutes ago, where he talked about... You know, he didn't have a lot of leadership in Pittsburgh. He came. It was Ben's final year. Ben leaves. You turn over the entire offensive line. And, you know, I know a lot of people, myself included, have complained about the Steelers spending too much money on defense and not enough on offense. I have no problem. If you've got a veteran quarterback that you have to pay a lot of money to and you want to build around him with youth, you have to find a way to cut costs somewhere. But I think Najee made a lot of valid points. Like, where is he going to turn? Who is he going to talk to? Who is he going to ask questions of? And it's not just that. It's also that the coordinator was learning on the job.
Right.
His first year was Matt Canada's first year as an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Now, I'm not sure that Najee Harris would be a 1,500-yard explosive back or anything like that if he played an offense with leaders, but I could see that being a sticking point with him, something that he won't remember fondly leaving Pittsburgh.
Yeah, there was no situation I was ever in where I couldn't turn to somebody that knew what they were doing or was a veteran that actually had a grasp of what was going on offense. There was never a situation like that. So he definitely has a point.
You had great ones.
I had great ones.
Yeah.
Like every year. I mean, whether it was Andre Johnson, Calvin Johnson, just a lot of them.
And even, I mean, you've talked about this a bunch, and I think people know, but like you and Larry Fitzgerald, I mean, he would take you down there. He would show you the ropes. That's a pretty damn good guy to show you the ropes.
Yep. The leadership was great, but like – that was that day and age, though. Like, that happened a lot. That happened, not, you know, with a lot of players. And, you know, Najee's years coming into the league, it was kind of starting where it was like, that leadership has gone away. Like, I don't – like, who are the true leaders in the NFL right now that you could be like, all right, if you bring somebody in, this guy will be – is such a staple that he'll take care of, the, like, the little things. Like, there's not many left. That's a dying breed. That's a dying era, in my opinion.
You think?
Yeah. Like, I mean,
it starts with quarterbacks. I mean, I think if your name's Mahomes, Burrow, you know, those guys are leaders.
Yeah, I mean,
ideally, that's where you want it to come from, isn't it?
And the Steelers have, I mean, their offensive draft picks have been atrocious for the last 7 years. No wonder there was no one for Najee to turn to. I mean, they let a guy like James Conner go. James could have been that guy for him. He would have also been competition. He's playing better than him right now, too.
Well, and that's what I think you're getting at a little bit, too, Doran. Right. It's like, because of high school and NIL and all of those things, it's my way or the highway,
right,
transferring. Then you get to the NFL, and you're face-to-face with your competition, but you can't run and hide.
No.
So are you going to help that guy? Probably not. Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, I just – there's a lot of reasons why the Steelers haven't been good on offense. Lack of leadership, certainly one of them. Matt Canada was certainly a reason why. The quarterback turnover, which is hard to do. Is you okay?
Borges? Charles Borges fell out of his chair.
He dropped his bugle. I get a little sick of the excuses from Najee, quite frankly.
He also said they were predictable on offense.
Predictable.
He's right about that.
The facilities are bad. Like, why? You were given every opportunity to be successful here. A lot of people really liked you in this town. Bought your jersey. Why spit on Pittsburgh on your way out? I don't get it.
Pittsburgh didn't give him his fifth-year option or keep him around. Like,
it doesn't do you any good, though, to do that. And maybe if you would have played better, you would have gotten that option.
Ooh, feisty pass.
I'm just saying, man.
Right, like, but is he wrong, though?
I don't think he's wrong about the predictability. I don't think he's wrong about the leadership. I don't think he's wrong about the facilities. But, you know, there's an element of class that is lacking there.
It was lacking while he was here.
Yeah.
After games, legislating the past, making excuses. I don't have patience for that. And you want to know why they haven't been good? You're a reason why, too. And that activity.
Yeah, be the leader.
That attitude. You know, you're coming from Alabama, man, the pinnacle of college football. You've watched the greats do it. Don't give me this. You haven't been told what to do.
And you know what?
Did Derrick Henry say that? You were supposed to be him.
You're talking me into your side of things here, Pat, because, okay, why don't you go be the leader? And instead, you know what happens? He actually got his captaincy taken away.
I just don't have a lot of patience for it. And, you know, if it's to be, man, it's up to me. And you're coming from the best college football program in the country, having watched back after back after back go do it, no matter where they went. Like, you're talking about Calvin Johnson, and I mean this with all due respect.
That's right, Richardson.
You're talking about Andre Johnson and Calvin Johnson, neither of which won a Super Bowl. Like, they weren't playing for the Chiefs or the Patriots, but they were leaders. They were dogs, and they did it on bad teams at times.
With not great quarterback
situations. With not great quarterback play. So don't give me this, like, you got to help me. Like, if you're the guy, you go do it.
Yeah, that's how they operate.
It's up to me, man.
Yep.
So you're going to – hey, don't spit into the wind. That's my message. And you better go be a dude in L.A. now, man.
Oh, he has to be.
You better show up. You better rush for 2,000.
Well, because here's the thing on that, buddy. Like, they're not paying him a lot of money. It's $5 million-ish base, and then it can be upwards of over $9 million. I mean, it's a lot of money for normal humans. But you don't work there when you've got a great coach, great offensive coach, a great quarterback. Like, you're not making that next year. And then your journeyman guy, you're bouncing around the
league. Yeah, but I think his message is he's getting that already there, and he didn't get that in the 4 years or 5 years, whatever, how long he was with the Steelers. He didn't get that at all.
Yeah.
But like, he's been there for 2 weeks. He's like, I've seen so much difference from where I was in Pittsburgh and now in L.A. in 2 weeks than I did in 4 or 5 years.
Sure, and all of these things can be true. Like, you didn't get what you needed in Pittsburgh. You were also – and continue to be kind of a whiny baby about it. And you better put up or else ruh-roh, Raggy. Like, I think all those things are simultaneously true on this. We got Jeff Hathsart.
Lack of the facilities, lack of leadership hasn't stopped T.J. Watt from being the best defensive player in the NFL. So
And Harbaugh runs like a college program. Of course there's more support. And there's more infrastructure. And yes, the Steelers haven't put a bunch of money into their facilities. That is all true. It doesn't excuse the fact that he wasn't good enough.
My educated guess here, in my opinion, is he's going to have the same season for the fifth straight year, which is a nice season, like 3.9 to 4.1 yards per carry, and he'll be durable, and he's tough. Like, I'll never take that kind of stuff away from him, but that's what I think is going to happen to him this year. We'll see.